Thanks for downloading this podcast, which is for personal use only. All contents are copyright Radio Show Limited and must not be reproduced, rebroadcast, or used in any form without permission. For contact details, go to www.radiolemon.com. If it happens in the WEC, it happens here on radiolemon.com.
Nismo. Nismo. Eat. Sleep. Race. Repeat.
Hello, everybody. It's RadioLemon.com, and this is Johnny Palmer joined by Bruce Jones as we are not far away now from the Nismo countdown to green for round four of the 2014 World Endurance Championship. From Austin in Texas, the season started, of course, way back in April at Silverstone, which saw a win for Toyota and Sebastian Buemi, Anthony Davidson and Nicolas Lapierre, who will start on pole position for the fourth round of the season not too long from now. That race will get underway for 6 hours at the Circuit of the Americas, and they won the opening round at Silverstone. They also won the next round at Spa-Francorchamps as well, and we know all about the Le Mans 24 Hours 3 months ago or thereabouts, which was all Audis. The number two Audi of Marcel Fessler, André Lotterer and Benoît Trelluet. Which way is this one going to go? We will take you through every step of the way, fully live, the FIA World Endurance Championship for 2014, round four, right here on RadioLemon.com with Johnny Palmer, Bruce Jones, and we'll introduce Paul Truswell as well from the data centre to keep us up to speed with all the strategy. We're going to kick on, though, with another interview that John Hindhoff has done very recently with the chairman of ProDrive 1, David Richards.
Delighted to be joined by David Richards. David, back in Texas here for Aston Martin Racing. Do you feel that after last year, this place owes you a little bit of a result?
Well, I don't know about that. We had our fair share of bad luck last year, and it was a very frustrating race for poor old Darren and Stefan. But looking at the weather here now this weekend, anything could happen. So it's going to be an interesting race, I'm sure.
I've been here since Tuesday, and there hasn't been a day without a substantial rainstorm at least once or twice a day. Much more akin to the weather we're used to in the UK in the autumn than what we're expecting here. How does that affect the plans that you've made? I mean, do you really have to plan for every eventuality when you come to an event like this?
Obviously, the team's well set up for both situations. And yesterday, the running was in the wet last night, and we were sort of very quick in the wet. And this morning, it was dry, and the cars appear equally as fast in the dry. So I think this circuit does tend to suit to the Aston Martin, and so we're looking very positive about it.
Such a long break after the 24 hours of Le Mans. Kind of lost a bit of momentum, but let's not forget that was a great result for the Pro-Am team back at the Circuit de la Sarthe. What have you guys been doing to keep yourselves busy in the meantime?
Oh, we've been down on the beach paddling and
on
our summer holidays. There's obviously a lot of preparation work to get cars ready, because these flyaway races are not straightforward. You've got to pack up. You can imagine the amount of kit that's required to run four cars, and we don't go back to base after this. So most of the stuff was shipped out by the end of July, and then from here, of course, they go off to the Far East and then all around the world, and ending up back in Brazil. So it's you've got to make sure everything's on board when you leave.
Hard to believe that we're not even halfway through our season of the World Endurance Championship here. This is the halfway distance race. How do you feel the season's gone this year? And I mean, we've almost got to start talking about next year, because the next four races come so thick and fast as well.
Well, I don't think we're thinking about next year just yet. We're concentrating on this race this weekend and then the remainder of the season. It's obviously the start of the season, we weren't as competitive as we'd like to have been, certainly in the pro car. And I'm sure Darren and Stefan then found Le Mans very frustrating with that very minor sort of power steering problem that set them back so badly. But never mind, we'll fight back from there. And I think everything looking at the performance this weekend bodes very well for this weekend. And then we go into places like China, where we've always performed well as well in the past. So never give up, as they say.
Got your great Le Mans rivals Corvette stepping into the World Endurance Championship with a toe-in-the-water effort this weekend with a single car. You welcome that competition?
obviously we welcome all the competition. I think it's great. The GT series has got a great camaraderie about it, and whether it's with the Ferraris, the Porsches, the Corvettes, Vipers, it's a very solid category, and very relevant, of course. The GT cars that we're racing are very, very similar to the cars that we're selling through the dealers here in America.
The advent of GT3, you and I have talked about this before, but it really has revolutionised how we look at GT racing around the world, not just in terms of championships, but the Blue Riband events of things like the Spa 24, Bathurst for the 12 hours, and one or two of the other big events in the Far East as well. You guys have done a bang-up job with your GT3 product. You must be very proud of it.
Now, the GT3 car, a ground-up design by Dan Sayer, in fact, who's now the chief engineer on the main program. He came to the company a few years ago, and that was his first task, was design that car. And he had a clean sheet of paper, and he's done a sensational job of it. And it's the cars are winning around the world in a very consistent way. They're very reliable, and it's certainly a very solid category now. And as you've seen from the sort of Blancpain series, well, that's at Nürburgring this weekend. So it'll be, I think, I don't know how many they've got, 44 car entry or something like
just
that.
Just the 44.
Yes, but it's, you know, that just shows the strength in depth and the variety of product out there. And it's very encouraging for the future, I'd say.
The GT talks in terms of pulling GT categories together sadly broke down. What side of the fence did you and Aston Martin sit in on that in terms of GTE versus GT3 or perhaps another category altogether? And do we need to continually be reinventing the wheel as far as GT racing in particular is concerned?
Well, we're very much advocates of the status quo and trying to keep the costs down. And any new category inevitably requires a lot of investment to develop new cars. And quite frankly, do the spectators and the people that come to enjoy the racing, do they see the difference at all? I don't think so. So the cars we've got today, we've got a great GT3 product, which is very, very popular, as we've seen around the world in national championships and the Blancpain series. And we've got a great GTE category at Le Mans. And we should be trying to make the GTE cars a little cheaper. That would be the only thing I would be advocating. And we've seen the performance of a GT3 car is actually quicker than a GTE, yeah. And our engines cost us half the price. So there's a lesson to be learnt there.
GT4 as well. The progression makes sense as well, I think. That's the other thing from a... is there such a thing as a casual spectator? People keep telling me this. It's one of those mythical things. I'm not sure. But GT4, GT3... GTE, I still want to call it GT2. It kind of makes all good sense to me.
No, I totally agree. The GT4 car, we've built over 100 of those now, and they're all over the place. And in fact, we're sitting here watching a race, and I think we'll probably see a couple of them passing in a minute. But and that's a product that a private competitor can take along and race a whole season and hardly put a spanner on the car, or can equally take it to a 24 hours of Dubai or Nürburgring or something of that nature. So that again is it speaks volumes for GT racing.
It's very much been the philosophy of Aston Martin Racing to race the cars that Aston Martin Lagonda, the car company, build. And you've actually been really successful in a time when it's not been the easiest. There's allegedly been a downturn, but the flight to quality seems to have certainly benefited premium brands like Aston Martin.
You're right. If for private competitors are looking for a reliable product. They're obviously very cost conscious about it, and the costs of servicing it and running the car is important to them. So we focused on that, and then they obviously they'd like to find some sort of sponsorship to support their programs. And sponsors are going to go to the premium brands at the end of the day, and none more so than Aston Martin.
Finish off, if I will, with a little HR question. A new recruit to Aston Martin on the car side of things, Andy Palmer, who we've spoken to before from Nissan. A very shrewd appointment, I think the automotive industry has commented, and certainly seems to be you've stolen him away. What's the thinking behind that, David, and how does that take the brand and the company forward?
I think it's very exciting for Aston Martin. I think it's particularly so to have a Brit in charge of the company again. I think that's an important aspect to it. Not that sort of, I think that Andy's in his own right is the best person for the job anyway, as an international sort of automotive executive. He's got great credentials, and of course he loves motor racing, so that can't be bad.
Voted as the most influential Brit, or identified by Auto Express as the most influential Brit in the automotive industry globally. Is it a coup then to bring him to, albeit a very important brand, but what is, he's still quite a niche brand in terms of how many cars you produce?
I think it's a real coup to get him back to Britain and to head up that Aston Martin. But, you know, I'm sure he sees the potential in the brand in the long term. It's an exciting challenge for an Englishman to come home. After all, he was brought up in Stratford-upon-Avon on the doorstep. So to come back and take this challenge on, and I think he's going to have some great times with us over the next 10 years.
And what does this mean for you personally? Do your duties change then, David, moving forward?
Well, I stood down as chairman last year anyway, so I'm still a shareholder in the company, but I'm focused more on the motor racing these days, and it looks like I might have some good support from the new CEO.
That sounds very good indeed. Good times ahead for Aston Martin Racing and indeed Aston Martin Lagonda.
Thank you very much.
The World Endurance Championship on RadioLeMans.com. The world's greatest sports car events connected.
It's the Nismo Countdown to Green on RadioLeMans.com with Johnny Palmer and Bruce Jones. We're looking forward to what could be a very interesting round four of the 2014 World Endurance Championship. We're, 18 minutes or thereabouts from the big race, and it's been such a wait, Bruce, 3 months or so since the last round of Le Mans, which was a cracking event in itself. Finally, this latter portion of the season can get started.
And it's going to come at us thick and fast. It feels as though this is the first round. We've had the closed season. It's just the mid-season. Of course, that's something that maybe will change in the years to come as the calendar sorts itself out. But what a fantastic circuit to sort of kick all the action back off. 20 corners, loads of gradient change, good-sized crowd in. And I think we're going to have a fabulous, fabulous 6 hours ahead of us.
It's a circuit which is relatively short on history, I suppose, but it's going to get more and more as this venue is used, and it's certainly generated good racing in the past, and not just for the World Endurance Championship. Toyota are the team to beat from qualifying yesterday. It's fair to say the session was a bit stop-start, and the number 8 Toyota, which has been so dominant already in the season, taking its third pole of the year, 2 victories of course, one at Silverstone, one at Spa as well, and it was Sebastian Buemi and Anthony Davidson doing the business in the number 8 TSO40.
Yeah, a fabulous job. They did have that brilliant start to the season, but look at the times for the next handful of cars. They're covered by a tenth of a second, covers effectively the next 4 cars on the grid, going Porsche, Porsche, Audi, Toyota. And then the Degrassi, Duval, Christensen, Porsche is another second back. They had some slight problems.
Should remind you that the format of qualifying is that 2 drivers take part in it, basically, and it's the best 2 laps for each driver, which are all added together and then divided by 4, effectively. That gives you an average lap across Sebastian Buemi and Anthony Davidson's time. That average was 1 minute 49.093, and it was the only car, in fact, to get below the 1 minute 50 mark. So easily quicker than everybody else. There was a red flag flown for the retrieval of number 12 Rebellion R1 Toyota, which had stopped way around at turn 11. So that then set up this kind of final 4.5 minutes for everyone to try and get a quick time in. But then there were yet further yellow flags because the number 37 car had issues. That's the SMP Racing Orica Nissan, which had spun and also stalled. So neither the number 12 or the 37 got its 4 laps in. They got 3 laps instead. And tricky then for anyone to better that time.
Exactly, which actually makes the fact that the cars from second through to fifth being so close all the more remarkable. I mean, it was easier to trip up than to put a proper lap in and complete your series. But, of course, bragging rights to Davidson, Lapierre and Buemi. And Buemi will be starting the race.
So that's in the number 8 car. And as we say, they have taken pole position. So they will start in the front of the grid alongside the first of the Porsches, number 14. So not 20 and 14. It's in reverse order. Porsche, I don't think we'll lose any sleep over that. So 8 and 14 on the front row, both on Michelin tyres. And the 14 Porsche is the Romain Dumas, Neil Yarny and Mark Lieb 919 hybrid. Another one of those cars then on the second row, number 20, Timo Bernhardt, Mark Webber and Brendan Hartley. They will start alongside the number 2 car of Marcel Fessler, André Lotterer and Benoit Trelluet in the first of the Audi R18 e-tron Quattros. Their time a 150.340, which is 1.3 seconds slower on average lap times than the pole time. Back onto row 3, and it'll be cars 7 and 1 there. That's the second of the Toyota TSO40 hybrids. A little bit of a false position possibly for that car. Struggled in qualifying, a 150.363 the time. Wurz, Sarrazin and Mike Conway welcome on board. He's done some testing for the team but never actually raced.
Well, Mike has a sort of very mixed program the past couple of years, but he slots in and out of the IndyCar series with Ed Carpenter Racing, and he delivers wins, you know, so he's obviously becoming increasingly adaptable and very, very quick, and goes well in the States. Of course, this is very different from most of the circuits on which he competes, but yeah, good job.
Due to be doing some Formula E racing, I think, as well, later on in that season. The car alongside the number 7 Toyota will be the second of the Audis, the number 1 Audi R18 e-tron Quattro. That's the Lucas de Grassi, Loic Duval and Tom Christensen car. And then we're into the Rebellion and Ligier territory, so this is where LMP1 meets LMP2. Row 4 is the Dominic Kreiharmer, Andrea Bellicchi, Fabio Lima Rebellion R1 Toyota, and it starts alongside the Dunlop-Shod 26 car, the pole position for LMP2, Roman Roussanoff, Olivier Pla and Julien Canal in the Ligier JSP2 Nissan that will start alongside, and it's Pla to start, thank you Paul Truswell. On the fifth row, Mark Howson, Richard Bradley and Sugio Matsuda in the first of the Orica 03R Nissans, car 47 alongside number 30, and that's Bradley starting the 47 car. The 30 machine is the HPD ARX 03, oh no, Matsuda to start, I beg your pardon, in the Orica 03R Nissan, and it's the 30 car that will start 10th, Scott Sharp, Ryan Dial and Ed Brown in the HPD ARX 03B Honda. A story behind that car.
A huge story. Extreme Speed Motorsports will be entering not this year's big round, the Petit Le Mans, but at the end of October, but instead joining the World Endurance Championship for a further round, going out to Shanghai. And the team is really, it's got its eye on Le Mans for next year. They say they will be doing some racing in the States, but they're being quite coy, but they're ordering 2 new HPDs for next year. And, well, we're going to have to suck it and see, but they're entering 2 of those in Shanghai. And the driver lineups will be the car we have here, 30 will be Scott Sharp and Ryan Dayel, joined by Ricardo Gonzalez. And the 31 car will be Ed Brown, Johannes van Overbeck and David Brabham, who does the Enduro races for this team and has done for several years. But a very, very strong lineup to take out. And I think it's really exciting. We'll have to see which way they jump, but I think the signs are good.
Well, it's great to have another engine in LMP2. And, of course, that spectacular paint job as well in bright green and black will be very easy to spot. That car will start in 10th position. Then we're back to the 6th row, and it'll be cars 27 and 51. So that's the Orica 03 Nissan, Nicolas Manassian to start the 27 car alongside the first of the GTE Pro machines, Jean-Maria Bruni and Tony Villander in the Ferrari 458 Italia. Back to the 7th row, so 13th and 14th on the grid, 97 and 92. That's Aston Martin Vantage V8 versus Porsche 911 RSR, the Darren Turner and Stefan Mucha. It'll be Mucha in the 97 car, and Fred Makovicki to start the 92 car, Patrick Pilet, his co-driver. 15th and 16th on the grid, numbers 91 and 99. That's 91 Porsche 911 RSR of Jörg Burgmeister and Nick Tandy. And Tandy to start the 91 car. And in number 99, it'll be Fernando Rees to start the car. 71 and 75, Davide Rigon and James Collado in the Ferrari 458 Italia. Collado to start the number 71 car. And he starts alongside 75, François Perraudeau and Collard and Mathieu Vaxivier, and Vaxivier to start the 75 car. Whip through the final few numbers very quickly. 19th and 20th, that's 95, the Aston Martin Vantage and the 65 Corvette C7R. 21st and 22nd will be two Ferrari 458s, Luis Perez Compact, Marco Ciocci and Mirko Venturi alongside the Gianluca Roda, Paolo Roberti and Geoffrey Segal cars. 23rd and 24th on the grid, Ferrari and Porsche. Stephen Wyatt in the 81 car, Michele Rugolo and Andrea Bertolini alongside Christian Reed, Klaus Bechler and Khalid Al-Kabaizi. And then The final four cars on the grid, the number 98 Aston Martin Vantage V8, the 57 Ferrari 458 Italia, the 12 Rebellion R1, that was the one that had problems in qualifying and brought out the red flags. And at the back of the grid, all being well, will be the number 37 Kirill Ledygin, Victor Scheitar and Anton Ledygin, Orica 03R Nissan. We may even have a further car, Bruce.
I can't see it at the moment. We're right. Looking to wonder whether the Lotus that did no laps in qualifying at all, but back in the series, Christophe Bouchoux, James Rossiter and Lucas Auer joining the show or not.
That's the countdown to green then, the Nismo countdown to green done and dusted. We are about 9 minutes away from the big race start, round four of the 2014 World Endurance Championship.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, go to www.radiolemon.com. Radio Show Limited. We talk to the world.